We interrupt your regularly scheduled podcast where we talk about all things high cash value life insurance to discuss the stock market. It has been crashing this week, as I'm sure you've noticed. I think most people are feeling the heat on this one. We were going to be talking about real estate investors and why they like to do infinite banking. Current events are kind of dominating all of the conversations at the moment, and I thought it would be a good idea to share with you fine folks what's happening with us during this time period. How are we handling it? How is it affecting us? So that, I don't know, maybe you know you're not alone. Maybe we can give you some ideas on things to consider. When might this turn around? How to handle it if it does or it doesn't? Welcome. This is the Life Insurance Financial Education Podcast, and we are pulling back the curtain on high cash value life insurance and how it can help you build wealth and achieve your financial goals normally. Except for this week, we're going to really just focus on the stock market. But I do have to say that normally when we get a volatile market like this, our life insurance clients do tend to pick up. We do see a lot more people fleeing to the safe products that we offer within the life insurance space. With that said, I'm your host, James Barber, your Oregon Cash Flow Pro.
My name's Jane with Tax Examiner Club.
And my name is Carlo Vicara with NetWell Finance.
Appreciate you guys joining us, taking some time out of your week to listen to this, even though your portfolio is in the toilet. Maybe it is, maybe it isn't. Some people have done a really good job of anticipating this. I know for me, I basically went to cash, mostly cash, earlier this year in anticipation that there was going to be a lot of uncertainty with regard to tariffs, with regard to immigration, and how that gets handled and the impact that that might have on a lot of the local businesses and farmers. And essentially, due to that uncertainty, I just felt better being mostly cash in the market, other than where I do my trading. I do like to trade options. How about you guys?
Well, us, when I say us, means my husband and I, we are 100% cash. We have been preparing for the turbulence since last eviction in November.
I have probably been impacted maybe the most, sounds like. I have a retirement account that I set it and forget it in some of the major mutual funds, so the Vanguard funds. So that one's probably, I don't know, if I look at it, I think last I looked at it on Friday, might have been tens of thousands of dollars of loss, I would say. It's got a decent amount of money in there. So that's been impacted a bit. And on the regular brokerage side, I have been doing more cash than I normally would, but I do have long positions in a number of dividend ETFs and dividend stocks. So I'm continuing to be set it and forget it for most of those. But there has been impact, even on some really strong ETFs. You know, I've seen 5 to 10% losses on some of those ETFs, some of those positions. So I am seeing a bit of an impact. But again, I do have more cash on the sidelines than I might normally have. Although just because I've been busy with life, I am in a set it and forget it state that some of my accounts are automatically reinvesting dividends, some are not. So it just depends on some of the different accounts that I'm using, but I have seen a decent amount of impact to the positions that I currently do hold in terms of long positions.
I mentioned that during times of volatility like this, we tend to see an influx of life insurance clients, people who see the safety that whole life provides, IUL, the ability to have that downside protection that you just don't get in the market. And really what it boils down to is if you're impacted in this, like substantially, and you're worried, if you're losing sleep at night because of what's happening in the market, that might be a clue that you're too exposed to the market, to the downside of the market. I get a lot of people that I work with that we bring them in, and the discussion is, how much of your portfolio should be protected from the downside when the market crashes? Because this happens regularly. I mean, not like every other year, but once a decade, once every 5 years, we get a 20% drop maybe. I mean, there's 10% drops pretty regularly. So if you can't handle that, think about diversifying into another product that gives you some of that downside protection.
Yes, and I think that's one thing. The fact is, yes, some of my accounts have lost tens of thousands, and it's not a huge deal in my mind. I have diversified into life insurance, have secure assets that make me feel fine about that. I know that markets will recover, and I think that's what we got to look at this like, and it's not the end of the world when certain accounts are losing money. So I think it's important for folks to think about that as they look at their own portfolios and make sure you're comfortable with those losses. I mean, 10, 5, 10, 15% losses, this could just be the beginning in terms of what we're seeing with the stock market. We don't know. It's very hard to estimate. You know, I had considered, I've actually kept a 401k loan out. I've considered a few times paying off a 401k loan that I had against my retirement account. And I think the balance of that is down to something like $8,000. I wish I kind of reset that back up to the limit of $50,000 to some degree, because I could have protected more. And I'd previously done a video on that concept. I've kept that 401k loan out, just it was paying that down naturally over time. And what I saw was a high time in the market. Kind of wish I would have done that again, but you know, it's not the end of the world. It's no big deal. And you know, I think the main thing is we are diversified into secure assets that help us sleep at night.
One thing I want to quickly mention is to take a look at your age, right? For a 20 years old, just say you have 100K there in that 401k or brokerage account, the same 10% loss for a 20 years old versus a 70 years old, the impact can be huge. So there's the age factor, the risk tolerance factor, as well as your experience in managing those portfolios. I think take a look, your particular situation will be super, super important in this down market.
One of the things that I would consider to be good advice for a lot of folks right now, don't spend too much time looking at your portfolio as it's going down. What you see when you look in your portfolio is the dollar value going down. But what's not going down is the number of shares that you own. You still have the same amount of shares. So if your reason for buying has not changed fundamentally, as far as meaning, let's say you have 200 shares of a company, if you still like that company, you still own 200 shares. Those shares are worth less, but you're not planning on selling them right now anyways, especially if your time horizon is a long ways out. This is where that 20-year-old has an advantage over the 70-year-old. Somebody who's in retirement or close to retirement does have more to worry about in a market crash like this, because they might be in a position where they were planning to sell soon. But if you're not planning to sell soon, I would just consider that you still have the same amount of shares. Don't worry about the losses. It will likely come back. Now, that's just based on past history. Of course, this time could be different. Let's talk a little bit about what is going on with the market. Why is the market dropping? What is going on that's causing this crash? Because some of the people listening to this, maybe they're looking for a little bit of insight from some of us in the financial field.
So I think the biggest impact on what's going on right now is the tariffs that have been implemented in an interesting way, and to some degree, blanket tariffs across the board at 10%. That's effectively a tax on all the imported goods, starting at around 10%. There are some small exceptions, but that's the base of it. And then, interestingly, there's reciprocal tariffs, supposedly at half the rates that other countries are doing. However, when those are actually being calculated and analyzed, it's more like reciprocal tariffs based on a trade deficit, which we might get more into the technicalities of that in this podcast, but it's not actually reciprocal tariffs if you're basing your tariff off of a trade deficit. And a trade deficit is when we are importing more than we are exporting to a given country. There's various reasons why we might be doing that.
Yeah, and part of the problem here, I think, is this sledgehammer approach that's being taken with regard to this. It's not just tariffs that are being targeted. This administration is viewing any type of trade deficit as negative, and it's goods traded. It looks like they didn't even calculate the services that we export, that we bring in a lot of money. So even though the services that we're exporting might put us in a positive trade relation. They're showing it as a deficit, and they're charging this reciprocal tariff in regards to that, ignoring that we actually make a lot of money, more so than we spend, on the goods that are coming into the country. So the way that they're going about it is causing a lot of uncertainty in the market. The market was up last week, right before Liberation Day, in anticipation of a targeted tariff policy that wasn't going to create trade wars across the world. I think that's the major concern here.
So I want to hone in a little bit more on one specific case of this reciprocal tariff, and let's call out Vietnam. I think something like a 40-45% tariff was put on Vietnam, and it's because we have a trade deficit. They're doing a lot of manufacturing in Vietnam right now. But here's the reality of their economy. I think they have something like 4,000 GDP per capita. The gross domestic product of their population is around $4,000 of value generated. How is it that their population could close that trade deficit? Could their population start buying our goods to the same degree that we buy Vietnamese goods? It's just impossible. It's just not going to happen. So that's just an example to hone in on. It's kind of what is a little bit weird. I don't know why that's going on. If you study economics and understand that that's the case, like 4,000 GDP per capita, that's not even on the broad population. That's factoring in big wealth inequality. So normal folks are probably making less than that. And how are they going to buy the goods to close that trade deficit? I mean, it's just going to be impossible.
So when we see these types of economic policies getting put into force, and it doesn't make sense, it doesn't make sense financially, that severe reaction that is happening is really understandable because people just don't get it. People that are in the finance space, they don't get it. The businesses that are being impacted on this, they don't get it. That all is uncertainty. And if there's one thing the market hates, it's uncertainty. When there is uncertainty, people pull their money out. And if you get big businesses and big funds that are pulling their money out, the stock prices are going to go down because there's large positions that are going away. And on top of that, you've got a bunch of people and a bunch of funds that are leveraged. And so you're going to get a bunch of margin calls along the way. I think there was the most number of puts bought this last week in the options market. Massive, massive put levels, even at the 5,400 level for the S&P 500. And then you go down. And I think if you look at it now, once it blew through that, there was massive put levels at the 5,100 and 48. So like, there's a good chance that this thing can keep going down, and a lot of people are betting on it going down. I don't know that we're going to see relief anytime soon. There might be a dead cat bounce. We might get a little bit of a relief rally, but I think it's important for people to think about what is your size in the market right now and how are you protecting that downside. There are ways to protect the downside. Go to cash. You can buy some puts. You can enter a short position where you're selling a stock that you don't own. There are some ETFs that track the reverse of some other ETFs. So buying into those is one way to protect the downside. There's a lot of different ways you can protect the downside. And obviously the one that we like the most is to diversify into some life insurance products. Our whole life, it only goes up every single year, even when the market's crashing like this. The IUL, downside protected. Like, I have exposure to the S&P 500 in one of my IULs where I'm only exposed to the upside, not the downside. I haven't lost a wink of sleep with those positions in my IUL. In fact, I'm kind of excited to see where the value of the S&P 500 is at my anniversary and what might happen when it bounces back. Because we've got access to uncapped options with the S&P 500. That can be really good.
Something I really want to encourage our audience to think about: the severity and the long-term impact of what this incident. Because we're talking about tariff. It's in between countries. The last two downturn of stock market, one is related to our real estate, the subprime market, and then the recent one was the COVID. But this time, it could be a very long and severe impact. I think it's the right time for people to really take a look at your entire pie as your asset. how much is exposed to the stock market, how much as cash position, how much in an alternative investment such as gold, silver, or other collectibles, how much is in high cash value life insurance product. It is the right time in this kind of situation to analyze what are the assets you're holding and how they will be impacted by something like this.
As we sit right now, it's Sunday night, and last week, the NASDAQ went down just over 20%. The S&P went down 17%. And right now, the futures are not looking good for Monday. We were just looking at the futures market, and it looks like the NASDAQ is going to be down another 4%, maybe 4.5%, the S&P another 3.5%, potentially a market open tomorrow. So this has not ended. We've got uncertainty around tariffs that we've got to deal with. It's beyond that. I think that's the biggest impact right now. We still have the issue with immigration that is kind of being handled haphazardly, where we've got a lot of people being rounded up right now, even some American citizens, as if they're not American citizens. They're being treated as if they're not American citizens. And then there's immigrants that are here legally that are being treated as if they're here illegally. Like it's a really haphazard approach. And a lot of people are getting hurt by it. This just adds to the uncertainty along with what's going on with the tariffs. I think the tariffs is getting the biggest mention right now, but there are other things.
Some of those things, immigration specifically, that is one of the things our workforce has relied on immigrants largely. And if we want to restore American manufacturing, it's very likely that immigrants would play a large part in that. And I think I would love for that to be legal immigration and for that to be the case. It hasn't always historically been the case. So we are possibly hitting this, or you know, it's possible that these policies are hitting this from a couple of angles, in the sense that it will make it harder for us to restore American manufacturing. I am a believer that we do need to restore American manufacturing. I think it's an important thing for various reasons. I look at it from a perspective of national defense and having that as a capability. That is what turned us into effectively the global superpower was American manufacturing in the World War II and post-World War II era. So there's a number of reasons why our economy has moved away from that. And as we've had strengthened the dollar and had such a strong economy, we've specialized in other realms, services, technology, things that are other than manufacturing. But I do believe we should look to restore manufacturing. I just don't know that some of these policies are going to actually help us to do that. I think it remains to be seen, but I'm a little bit concerned about what the approach is right now.
And I think the market in general agrees. They're not sure as well. I think if something was clearly laid out, people may disagree with it, but it helps to plan. It helps to plan ahead. You can't just throw blanket tariffs on everything and expect manufacturing to magically come ashore in the next few months. It just doesn't happen that quickly. It takes years, maybe even a decade, to get these factories up and running. And a lot of these factories are going to be heavily automated. You're not going to have a whole lot of jobs in them anyways. So even if we do bring back the manufacturing, it's not going to be the same amount of jobs when they went away. So the impact is going to be a little bit different than if we were bringing back factory jobs that people were going to be working in.
You said it takes a few years, and absolutely. It took us around 40 to 50 years to destroy American manufacturing by the policies that we've implemented. It was around the Carter into the Reagan administration that really took this turn into the economic policies that brought us to outsourcing much of that manufacturing. It's starting with things like Taiwan and China and Japan. All of those things were happening years ago, 30 years ago, 40 years ago. And that's the time frame that it took to destroy the American manufacturing industry. We can ramp up quickly. We did in World War II, but it's not months. We're talking years at the least.
And really, when it comes to how severe is this impact going to be? I've seen a lot of people talk about price to earnings, how current values of things like the S&P 500 or NVIDIA or specific companies in general, how their price to earnings are a steal right now, and how the earnings has gone up substantially over the last year. And in these folks' minds, they're still seeing earnings going up again in the future. And so the price to earnings ratio is more and more attractive. My concern is, how do these blanket tariffs actually affect those earnings? Because there's going to be a massive impact on the cost to build, on the cost to get these goods into the country. So I think the estimate that I've heard from some people, and I don't know how accurate it is, it might be an impact in the range of 1 or 2% for some of these big companies. But you get a lot of small businesses, and the impact is going to be drastically worse than that. There could be some small businesses that have zero ability to get any goods that are not imported. I know I saw some videos of some business owners that were impacted that we just don't have the manufacturing capacity to do anything here. Anything anywhere else, it can't compete with what China's doing. The amount of time it takes to make something, in the size that the orders get made in, it just doesn't make sense to buy from anybody else. And so it's going to get hit by the tariffs. It could get hit substantially, and there's no way to avoid it for those businesses. Some of those businesses are just, they may not survive. And the businesses that do, I imagine the earnings are not going to be the same as they were projected just last quarter. So watch out for that. There's going to be a lot of repricing. So it's not just panic, I think, that's causing a sell-off. I think there's a lot of sell-side analysts that are probably trying to crunch the numbers on this and figure out, how is the tariffs going to impact this company, and where does that readjust our model? Where should the price of these stocks be? Because I guarantee you, they're not going to be up to where they are now, where people are saying, oh, you get a 30 or 40% discount if you buy today. I don't think that's the case.
I also heard people here in the U.S. started buying and stocking all the necessary goods, toilet paper. I know I was trying to get something. I know the toothpaste, they only limited it to purchase online. I think it's the uncertainty. A lot of Americans now, we all feel very unstable. When people feel unstable, the market will definitely reflect it very, very soon.
The fact is that I've been looking at various items that I might consider buying, and I have actually decided to purchase some things, like a new backpack and a couple of items that I know are imported, that if this continues, I know the price of those items will go up once the stock has been gone through in some of these vendors, these products that I was looking at. So I actually did buy a few items that I might have waited for. So to some degree, it's possible in the short term, there can be a little bit of a tariff bounce on some of these items as inventory is clearing out. And I'll say that I sort of added to that with some purchases that I made preemptively that I didn't need to make, but I wanted to, just in case that those items won't be in stock for months, or they might be 10, 20, 30, 40%. Some of these items, I know they're manufactured in Vietnam. So I think that there's going to be a big impact on the prices of those items.
And this podcast is dropping the day that the tariffs are supposed to take effect. That's April 9th, where all of these blanket tariffs are supposed to take effect. So it might be too late, but if you did have some purchases in mind, you might want to check that out and see if you can still get on it before current inventory runs out. And maybe they haven't raised the price on current inventory yet. Well, I appreciate the conversation that we've all had, that you guys have all had today. I think that might be a good call to action, is if you had some purchases in mind, you might want to jump on that sooner rather than later, just in case this trade war drags on for a while. Any other call to action you guys have?
It's time for this week's call to action.
What I want to say is, don't really panic, but be vigilant, right? I think it's the right time to really, as I mentioned, take a look what you have. What's your plan to different buckets of money? Also, don't just panic and start selling. Sometimes all the rumors making difficult or unwise decisions. So just be vigilant, take a look at what's going on in the news to ride the wave. And your money is your money. You control what you do, but always make wise decision when it comes to investment.
I would second the don't panic sell situation. I have positions that have lost lots of money. I'm actually going to continue to have some of those positions reinvest dividends. I'm totally fine with that. I'm young enough. I'm going to wait that part out. But if you are hoarding cash, or if you had scheduled buys of things going, it wouldn't be unreasonable to maybe reduce the amount of those scheduled buys for now, hoard some more of the cash, and consider having a conversation with a life insurance agent, getting into a downside protection product like whole life insurance or IUL. It is a good time to think about that. And diversifying into life insurance can be a powerful tool in times like this that doesn't actually negate taking advantage of the bottom, because you can get that cash into a life insurance policy, have it safely growing, and still, if you want to take advantage of an opportunity in the future, you could borrow against it and invest in the market if you would like.
Yes, I would say it's a great time to talk to us about high cash value life insurance products. It's a great time to think about that diversification, get some balance to your portfolio that might not otherwise be there, that might help you sleep better at night. The other thing, a lot of people are probably thinking about buying. It's a great time to buy when there's fear in the markets. The challenge is you don't know when it's going to stop. You don't know when the selling is going to stop. And so they call it trying to catch a falling knife. It's not a good idea to try to catch the falling knife. You could buy in now and the market still drops another 50% or 30% or 20%. You just don't know when it's going to stop. So if you're of the mind to try to buy in during this period, make those buys smaller. But making the buys smaller is one of the ways to do that. And you could do it effectively where you buy throughout that whole dip. Or what a lot of people can and should do is just wait for the actual turnaround where you get that big V dip and the market bounces back. You might not pick up at the very bottom. But if you get anywhere close to that, you're going to be happy if you caught it and it's on its way up. And you didn't catch it and it still dropped another 50%. It's a lot easier to be happy with the decisions you made if you just wait it out. I know it's hard to do, but try to be patient. And with that, we wish you guys luck out there. This is a tough market. I hope you can figure it out and your portfolio survives the Armageddon that is happening right now. And with that, I'm James Barber, your Oregon Cash Flow Pro. I do life insurance and annuities with clients across the country.
My name's Jean. I'm the host of Tech Exam Millionaire Club, a community on school. We specialize in teaching individuals of business owners how to accumulate tax-exempt millions of dollars, including strategies, but not limited to high cash value life insurance we're talking about here. I'm also a licensed life insurance agent in many states. I'm here to assist whenever you want to have a chat.
And my name is Carlo Vaquera. You can find me at netwealthfinance.com or on YouTube at netwealthfinance. And we'll work with life insurance clients across the country.
Appreciate you joining us.
See you next time.
Thanks for tuning in.